Everybody, happy Monday. I don't know why I think it's Tuesday. How is everyone doing? So we just watched part four of the single life tell-all. We are now four parts into the tell-all. There's one more. Hey, Coco Puff. There's one more part to the tell-all to go, and I feel like they saved the best for last. The Battle of the Debbies is in the next tell-all, which I'm really excited about. Hi, Judy. How are you? I'm really excited about part five because the real drama is in there, and I'm excited for that. And I mean, there was some drama tonight. Drama because we got the tell-all proposal, which I don't think anybody was surprised by. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And Julian made an appearance at this tell-all. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So I think Kara is going to be a little late tonight, right?
Yeah, she's running a few minutes late, but she says she will join us.
Kara will be here. So we're on part four of the single life tell-all, which a lot of people are surprised that it's this many parts. But there was some drama tonight, right? So we got Louisa and Jamal that came back out, and they were talking with Tim and Veronica, and there was a lot. I don't want to get to that first. I feel like
let's wait for Kara. Yeah, let's wait for Kara because your FBI agents are on.
Yeah. So I want to talk about the engagement because I got some feedback from Twitter, and hey Scott, and that everybody on Twitter was saying that they feel like Patrick is a huge hater. And you know what's funny? I got the vibes. You remember Clayton? Clayton had a sister on the last season of 90 Day Fiancé, and his sister was kind of his biggest hater. And I feel like that's kind of how Patrick is reacting to John's relationship. Like, did you notice the look of disgust that Patrick had on his face when John proposed? I thought it was kind of sad. You know, I don't know what happened in their relationship or why they are where they are now, to where he can't be happy for his brother. You know, and I get it. I get that John was a pain in the ass when Patrick was bringing Thais here. Well, hi.
Sorry, Emily.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm just putting a feather in our caps for me and Dee Dee.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna talk about that because you guys had that thought in your head probably in part one of the tell-all, right? I feel like you were thinking that. So I want to get to that, but not first. Not first, because I feel like there's a lot to unpack with that. So we were talking about Patrick and his relationship with John, and it seems like Patrick doesn't seem to be happy for his brother at all. And did you notice that Patrick was the first to call their mom to tell what happened? I felt like that wasn't his place. Why does he feel that it was his place to call and tell the news before John got a chance to do it? Like, I don't know. I just feel like he's very, it reminded me a lot of Clayton's sister. You remember Clayton's sister? Like, no matter what the situation was, she just wasn't happy for him. Yeah. And I think it's deeply rooted, you know, in years and years of something that went on that we don't know about. And I just don't know, because John and Patrick seemed really close when we met them at first before Thais got here. And now that Patrick is married and has a child, it seems like John is his enemy. You know, yeah. It feels like he doesn't want to see him do things. He doesn't feel he's ready. He has nothing but negative things to say, you know, and I feel like that's really sad, because when it comes to family, your family should be the person that believes in you the most. You know, the strangers are people who don't know you well. That's one thing, but your family should be the one to really build you up. Yeah, Tina, yeah, he made the call. It was right after the proposal. It was backstage, and he made the call. And one of the comments that Patrick made was, 10 months ago, she was a booty call.
Yeah.
That's what he said to their mother, right? Like, what is the deal? Why is it like this?
It's sad. It's sad to me because John put in his two cents when him and Thais got together, which was, I can't say out of line, because John was living there and John was afraid of losing that security. So I feel like that's why he did it. But what's Patrick's excuse? Wouldn't you want to support him? Wouldn't you wish him the best so you know he's not moving his ass home with you?
I think he low key, Patrick low key doesn't want John to succeed in any kind of relationship, because if John succeeds in his relationship, then he's gonna put Patrick on the back burner. He's no longer gonna need Patrick, and I think Patrick feeds off of that John needs him.
Yep, I agree.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So if he becomes independent and creates his own family,
yep,
he won't be so dependent on Patrick, because Patrick has been kind of the one to bail him out of situations. Like if he needed a place to stay, if he needed help, Patrick has been that person. Yep. So maybe Patrick is worried about that codependency. You know, some people really like being dependent on. Like for some people, that is something that they need. They need to feel needed, wanted, and they need to know that people depend on them. It's like a weird power dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, for some people, they're like, well, I know if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be able to do this. And then they hold it over your head. You know, and I think maybe that has something to do with it, because Patrick did describe John to us as somebody who he's always had to take care of.
Yeah.
That is something that he would tell us when we met them, right when they first came on the show. He was like, well, I've always had to take care of him. He's always needed my help. You know, and he brought him into the business, the job that he does. Patrick brought him into that.
Lived together as well.
Yeah.
And he always depended on him. So maybe I don't know, in my opinion, if somebody was always depending on me and then they became independent, I would have a party.
Yeah. and they're ready to fly.
Let me help you pack.
Right. I'll be happy for you. I'll be like, I'm so glad that you are out of my responsibility, right? You're out of my hair. I don't have to worry about you. You can now take care of yourself. I'll be totally fine with that. Like, I feel like it's more stressful when you have people that depend on you all the time and they need you all the time, and you have to bail them out of situations all the time, because you always have to make sure you have enough money for you and them, you know? Like, so that's like adding extra responsibility on me. So in my opinion, I think John is, he's flying. Like you said, he's spreading his wings, he's growing, he's flying. And I don't see why that's not a good thing. I mean, it's later in life, right? Like, he's older, but it's never too late to get your shit together, right? Like, it's never too late.
It's going to be a weird dynamic watching Happily Ever After and seeing John on there wanting to go to Brazil and all of that stuff.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, because they don't get along. So yeah. I can only see him going there to make the trip harder than it needs to be. Yeah. I hate to say that.
Weird, because we know where John's at now. Obviously, he wasn't there during Happily After. It's going to seem so weird.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And like you said, we don't know the exact timeline of how this went on. Like, maybe he was still in Vegas while Happily Ever After was filming, and he wasn't as serious with Megan. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting. When they overlap the shows, the timelines get really obscured.
Yeah.
And we don't know what we're getting into. So I do want to see him go to Brazil and meet the family, though, because I feel like John is that person that you don't necessarily invite to things, because he's very real. And, you know, if you're trying to make a really good impression, you don't want your realest family member there, you know, to show who they really are, because, you know, you want to be on your best behavior. Like, I feel like bringing John might not blow over well with Thais's dad, because you remember, Thais's dad did not like Patrick, period.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have anything positive to say about him at all. She had no issue with him. She loved him. The relationship, they had been together for quite a while. And the dad just looked at him as an American who had a fetish for foreign women. I think is basically what he would say. He had a fetish for foreign women. He was never going to be serious with her. And she didn't even tell them, her dad, that she was there to get married. She told her dad that she was there for a vacation, like a trip. So I can't imagine that this is going to be a pleasant visit for her, because, you know, you're not only coming clean with what you did, now you're bringing your husband that he hates and your baby, you know, to meet the family. So now it's all there. It's all out in the open. So I think that's actually going to be a decent storyline for Happily Ever After, because let's be honest, we haven't seen a lot of decent storylines so far. You know, I feel like, oh, I want to bring up, I don't know if y'all saw this. This is off topic completely. But there was a photo that was sent to me today of Scott and Angela. Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah.
What a weird pairing, right? Like, I want to get your opinion on that. Do you think that Scott and Angela are going to be friends? Do you think, I mean, Angela's single right now too, you know? So what's going on? Why are they together?
Anything for attention. Anything for attention. They're both villains right now, so.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people were saying that. They were like, they're definitely in the same category, you know, of a villain. You know, they've earned that category. They've earned that title. So seeing them teaming up was kind of interesting. They're two people that I never thought I would see in a picture together.
I mean, they're the same age.
Yeah.
See, now I'm beginning to wonder.
The only difference is it didn't take Scott as long to become the villain as it did Angela.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it and I was like, what's going on here? They're like drinking together and hanging out together. So I'm going to be watching that pretty closely, right? Like, I know I've verified with people there's no cameras around. I've already asked around. There's no cameras around. So there's nothing being filmed at the moment. But I'm going to keep my eye on the situation, right? Like, just to make sure. Because
it's Scott and it's Angela. So neither one of them can stay away from their damn phone. They're going to film everything. They're going to post it all over.
Yeah, yeah. That's definitely. And I didn't know Angela was in Florida at the moment. So I was like, what's going on? Because, yeah. So I'm going to be following along with that. I saw that picture. And I don't know if I got a chance to send it to y'all, but I'm pretty sure you saw it. It was everywhere. Yep. So I want to talk about Debbie's relationship with Ruben, right? So Julian really has a feeling that Ruben is up to no good. And I don't want to obscure like the storyline, but there's some things going around Instagram and Twitter now that they did not know about at the time of filming. So Debbie was saying that that Ruben didn't show a lot of effort when he landed in New York to see her. You know, and they hadn't seen each other since she left Miami, which they didn't give a timeline, but I'm assuming months. Yeah. So he didn't like say, oh, I'm here. Where are you? Let's have a drink. Let me come see you. I would love to say hi. He just went to his room and was totally fine. Now, this kind of aligns with some comments that Debbie made on her Instagram regarding him. And she said that he seemed to be all about the cameras. Like he was in it for the cameras and he was running something on his page with a GoFundMe, and there was a lot of things that she didn't know about that were kind of going on behind her back, I guess. And, you know, it's really interesting because the fact that they hadn't seen each other since, but he showed up with her face on his underwear and her face on his socks, it really did seem like he was in it for the clout, right? Like, I don't know. I don't know him. I don't follow him on anything. It's really interesting, though, that she gets on a plane and leaves and their communication is terrible. And then he shows up with her face all over his outfit. It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
I
like
that reminds you of.
Well, when I thought of people's
Somebody else did the same thing.
Oh, wait, you're talking about Scott, right? Because didn't he have like a picture of Amanda on his shirt? Yeah.
You're
right. Scott had a picture of Amanda on his shirt, and actually another person who did the shirt
Valentine's card and all this other stuff. Yeah, so.
And Rebecca, I think, and Zayed, they all did the shirts too, right? Remember the shirts.
But they're still together, though. I mean, they're legit.
Yeah. They're still together. And, you know, Rebecca was I think we called her the filter queen, because the person on the shirt and then her, they weren't exactly the same. Yeah. But Zayed is totally
nowhere near the same.
No, right?
Nowhere near the same.
Not exactly the same, but you know, they worked out. So I don't question people's relationships when they work out because it's clearly working. So who am I? Who am I to put my business into their business? So I think that watching Ruben the Cuban and his outfits, and so I would ask you a question. Do you think that he really dresses like that, or do you think that that was something that he saw that Debbie did and he wanted to try to get into her lifestyle? Because that was going around Twitter too. They were like, so is he really eccentric and an artist, or is he just a guy that lives with his parents who saw a way to get on TV and started dressing like her? Like, that's kind of what people were wondering.
That's what I think.
That's what I'm thinking too. That is exactly what I'm thinking too. Now, I mean, on social media, if you know, look at his social media, whenever he's filming himself, because he goes live all the time, or he does videos all the time, he's dressed in colorful clothes. Yeah. But I mean, if you go on TLC and you look like a certain way, you've got to keep it going. You can't be like that on TLC and be a totally different person off the cameras.
I mean, I think I do believe he's an artist.
Hey, Skyla. Oh, hello, Ruben. Ruben the Cuban has joined us. Thank you for joining us. It's like you could feel that we were talking about you, right? Like, we're questioning a lot because Julian, in the back of his mind, always felt like there was something up, you know? Like, but I think the cop in Julian, he always is going to second guess people until he gets that background report back physically in his hand. I feel like Julian is always going to think, like, what's up with you? You
know? Skyla is one of my coworkers, and so bitches is our nickname. So she's not calling you guys bitches. That's all to me.
Oh, that's how I talk to my bestie on a regular basis. Yeah. So that doesn't bother me at all. That's like that's how we say hi.
She's bitches.
So yeah, I'm not offended at all. But yeah, I think that Julian said that he's been really worried about his mom, and I think that that's warranted. I think him being a cop, it makes things a little more difficult. You know, because I used to be like that with my mom when she was dating. You know, I was really worried, but I wasn't like cop worried.
But
you know, like.
And now I have to say, the way Julian's coming at him about his background and this and that, let's be real. We've dug up some dirt on Julian in the last two seasons. So.
Well, yeah. And
we had dirt on Julian whenever they first come on 90 Day Fiancé. I mean, you can't get past me and Cara. I mean, because we're going to find out. We're going to know.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Julian has realized the only people who can run background checks are not just cops.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't hide everything from everyone. Please read Jamal's IG story. Okay. Yeah, we will. Yeah, we haven't gotten to that part yet, Kim. Hey, bestie. But I wanted to ask you guys about ages, because this was a topic, because they were talking about shaving off numbers from your age, and I know a lot of people do this, but I want to know how many numbers or years are acceptable to shave off of your age, because Miss Debbie kind of feels like, since she is 67, that if she didn't lie and say she was at least 10 years younger, that no one responded to her. So how do you guys feel about lying about your age? And I know a lot of women say, oh yeah, a couple of years, it's a normal practice. But like, is 10 years something that you would ever consider taking off your age to put on an app?
I don't understand why she's lying. I mean, yeah, blah, blah. Nobody's talking to her, whatever. That's ridiculous. You're literally out there preaching about how you want a good guy that's going to do this and going to do that. And you're starting off on a lie?
Yeah. Yeah, I felt like that too.
I wouldn't shave off no years at all, because if they're gonna like you, they're gonna like you for who you are.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, wait a minute, let me find it. Y'all go ahead. Let me find what I was gonna say.
So Kim says that she should have did that before she met Usman. I think that 10 years is a lot. Like, I think it's totally fine, especially for a woman, to cut off a couple of years, because women, for some reason, genetically always look younger than their age. So, like, I think that's fine. I think when it comes to men should be honest about their age. You know, like, I think
if you're trying to be in a relationship, you should be honest. Period.
Yeah, I mean, honesty is the best policy. Fernanda said it too. She's like, don't start anything on a lie. And I agree with her. You know, like, when you want to start something, you're building a foundation, be truthful. Oh, love you, bestie. I'll call you in a little bit. But I think it's very important that you tell the truth. And I think your age, your occupation, if you have children, if you want children, these are things that are not negotiable. The truth is kind of needed
now,
if you're actually trying.
Now, I will say this. If I'm dating someone and I don't know where it's going, I'm not going to tell them if I have kids, where I live, where I work and all that, because you don't know if that person's a psycho,
yeah,
but or a stalker. But I would never take any years off of my age, because I mean, like the other Debbie said, and even though I don't like her, I've got to agree what she said. A lot of people don't have the opportunity to reach that age. A lot of people don't have that opportunity. So why are you trying to be someone that you're not? Okay. And then back to, I had to find my nice words. Okay. All right. This day and time, this generation, you have to watch how you say things, what you say, how you post things on Facebook or social media, dating apps. Okay, if she put all that on her dating app where she's in all these crazy, wild looking clothes, I mean, people, this generation is going to think that she's wacko. Like, she's not all there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that being yourself is the best way to attract someone.
Exactly. Yeah. But the type of men that she's looking for or she's wanting, it's they're not going to react to her because of how she dresses, how she carries herself, which I think she's really cute. I love the way she dresses. I'm not saying nothing bad about that. It's just when you're putting yourself out there on social media and you on dating apps, maybe you need to tone it down just a little bit. And then whenever you get to know each other, then you can go all crazy in your wild clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's too much too soon is like the recipe for scaring people away.
You got something to be intrigued by, something to learn. Don't lie about your age, but withhold enough information that they want to learn more. But instead, she's just putting her whole self out there about everything. My son's a cop. I'm very eccentric. I have a story, blah, blah, blah. I dated a 24-year-old in Egypt, you know, or Morocco.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Morocco. Yeah, I mean, her story is not normal. So, yeah, I think everything about her is eccentric and different. And I think for someone her age, a lot of men her age are not looking for that much color and excitement, right? Like, I think a lot of people at that age are looking to settle down and not be tame, you know, and just do normal things. And I think she's, for 67, she acts like she's much younger. Yeah. And I think that's probably why she thought it would be okay to shave off a decade, right? Like, because I feel like she doesn't act like a 67-year-old, but if you're looking for a date with someone and you say you want to date people, well, first of all, she says she wants to date someone her own age, but she ended up in a relationship with a 24-year-old. So I'm not on board with that fully, that she wants to date someone her own age. And then you go on a dating app and you're still lowering your age by a decade to get someone younger. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. If everybody is of age, if she wants to date somebody younger, that's her prerogative. And I haven't, as long as everybody is of age, I don't care. You know, like, I don't judge people for that. But if she wants to find a person that's going to be close to her age and understand her and want the same things as her, you got to be honest with who you are. You know, because let's remember the first guy that she dated on the show on this season, she lied about the age and told them on the first date. He ghosted her. He never called her back. He never returned any of her phone calls. He did not like it. He acted like it was fine at the where were they at? It was like a axe throwing, or I don't remember what they were doing, but he's like, oh, it's fine. Don't worry. Just be yourself. He never returned her phone call again, because a lot of people, the first thing you do is lie to them. They probably have some relationship trauma where people have been lying to them in the past. They can't continue. You know, it's too early in relationships to be dealing with lies on the first date, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the cast felt like, some people thought it was okay to shave off some years. I think Debbie was the one who was not okay with it. I think Veronica and Chantel were like, it's fine. I mean, I feel like if you really want something serious and you want honesty and you want a relationship that's going to last, just tell the truth. You know, I'd rather tell someone the truth about me and then they just ghost me right away than I invest time thinking we're going to build something and then we're not, because then when they finally find out I'm a liar, you know, they're going to block me anyway, so I'm just wasting my time. So I feel like it's easier to just let people know, like, hey, I'm weird. You know, like, I'm a weird person. I have, like, the dolls of Chucky and dead people from The Exorcist in my house. Like, I'm going to get that out of the way right now. So block me now. You know, like, if you don't want to deal with my weirdness, block me now and I'll move on. You know, and like, I'll put it all out there.
On and she says, oh, my God, George, I love you. And I didn't even know it.
I feel like people should love me, but I know I'm totally weird.
Yeah,
I get it.
Just loves you because now she can do witchcraft on your Chucky dolls.
Oh, I was See, I was gonna do a session with my medium, with the dolls, because she said sometimes dolls are possessed. And I wanted to see if any of my dolls were possessed. I don't think they are, though, because I bought them from the store. I didn't get them from, like, a dead person or anything. So, but I was like, we should just do it just for fun. Just
well, that's where the Chucky from the movie came from, a store.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And Annabelle was, the real doll is in a museum or whatever, and it's possessed and it's locked in a case right now. I actually have a replica of her and a replica case. And funny, this is off topic, we gotta get off this, but the case that's locked, every now and then I'll go in the room and it's opened. The glass case. Yeah, so that was the one that I was gonna see if it was possessed. But anyway, I wanna talk about, we're gonna get into this Jamal, Louisa, Tim, and Veronica situation. So first of all, you guys were under the impression that Jamal and Louisa were involved. So tonight, we got some confirmation of that from Jamal's mouth. He said that...
You're surprised to see this.
Wait, you're surprised?
Yeah.
Yeah, very surprised. I'm right? Not, just completely shocked.
We never saw it.
I'm not.
So,
I knew they were banging. I told y'all they were banging. Which, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying.
I would have been sad if they weren't.
Well, they went to New York, both single, and they ended up bonding, you know, I call it trauma bonding, you know, when you both have a bad situation with the same people. I always say nothing brings you together like a common enemy.
Yeah.
And I feel like they had a common enemy, right? Like nothing brings you together. You don't realize how much you get along with someone when you both dislike someone together, right? And I feel like they were both put through the ringer in their relationships. I think more so Louisa than Jamal. Louisa really came at Tim and said how she felt. And I want to get your opinions on some things that Louisa said. She said that, okay, so she would try to do things with Tim, and there was always an excuse. Oh, I'm sick, my jaw, my leg, my friend broke his leg, my back hurts. And, oh, I want to talk about the concert. So he went to a concert. The venue was next to her apartment building. And she was like, oh my God, you're next door to my house. You should come say hi, which is a completely normal thing to do. Like when I'm in town or if I'm near someone, I always will ask, do you want me to stop by? Because I'm close by. And he was like, well, I don't want to see you because I'm hanging out with the guy. How do you feel about this? Because he claims that he did want to build something with her. But every time we listen to the way the relationship was playing out, it seems like he was trying to blow her off and not in a good way. Right? Like he wasn't trying to spend time with her. He wasn't trying to get to know her. But he's the one that seeked her out. Like he pursued her. He approached her. He asked her out. What's the deal with him?
He did that for TV. That's it. That's it.
So do you think that there's some...
He's still trying to hide that he's gay. I mean, we've known that he was gay ever since he come on 90 Day Fiancé. He gave it away within the first 2 minutes.
Well, yep. He says he likes to move slowly. And, you know, like, Louisa had to convince him to kiss her, which I think is crazy for a grown adult man who says that he's attracted to you. You know, because even Tyrae was like, if a beautiful woman asks me to kiss and touch her, that's not like pulling my leg, okay? Like, that's not pulling my leg. Like, you're not asking me to give you a kidney. You know, like, you're asking me to be affectionate towards you, and I'm attracted to you. Like, that's not asking a lot. And he makes it seem like when a woman asks him to be affectionate, it's asking for something beyond his realm. And it makes you wonder, why is that? Why is being affectionate? She's not asking him to have sex. She's just saying, I want to be touched. I want to be kissed. I want to feel desired. And he can't do that. When she approached him when they were outside, he's like, you're getting too close. Who says that? Who literally says that to a woman that they're attracted to? You're getting too close? What does that even mean?
A gay man says that.
I mean, I don't disagree with you. You know, like if a beautiful woman that I am very interested in was getting too close, I would be very happy by that situation, right? Like, I'm like, well, you definitely feel the same way that I feel about you, and I'm very happy about that. Like, she was just trying to, and it's normal, because he's like, oh, well, and this same thing happened with Jennifer, where he's like, oh, I need to get to know you first. Well, how much do you need to get to know someone before you can hold their hand,
right?
Before you can kiss? Because I know on a first date, it's pretty common to kiss at the end of the date. And that could be the first date.
I'm guessing Jamal knew her less than Tim, and he didn't wait.
Well, right. I'm assuming they've known each other for like 24 hours or less, and they had already done it twice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, and even Louisa said, she's like, this is normal, a normal part of getting to know each other. You know, like, this is part of dating. You know, there's people who have sex before they get to know each other, right? Like, this is how dating works now. I don't know if Tim is, like, much older than we think he is or if he's old school, but, like, this is a part.
They got to make sure that the sex is good before they even start a relationship, because well, right. Who wants to be in a relationship with someone that the sex ain't even no good?
Yeah.
I've been trying to put my finger on this situation, and I don't understand it. And he swears up and down that it's not a sexuality situation, but I don't know.
Yes, it is. He wasn't even on the first show whenever he was with Jennifer. He wasn't even on 90 Day Fiancé for 2 minutes, and everybody could tell he was gay. And there's nothing wrong with that. If that's his preference, there is nothing wrong with that. But be honest. I mean, because you're lying to yourself and you're lying to everybody, because we've known for years.
And then tonight he says, we're going to hear it for another 5 or 10 years. So,
well, apparently he has another 5 to 10 year contract with TLC. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Nope. I hope not. That would be terrible.
For 5 to 10 years.
Well, Miss Debbie thinks it's not that he's gay and that he has low testosterone, right? Sure. I know that is something that men experience usually as they get older.
Even when low testosterone, I mean, if you have a gorgeous woman that's practically naked right there in front of you, I mean, even if you have low testosterone, get one of Gino's blue pills. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Do something.
Yeah. Low testosterone does not make you wear those freaking boots.
So I was going to say, God rest his soul, but Hugh Hefner was well into his 80s, 90s, and he was still keeping up in the bedroom with some girls in their 20s. Yeah. So I'm going to say, like, it doesn't really have to do with testosterone. If you really want to make it happen, like you said, there's pills. And if you want to do it, he was doing it, I'm pretty sure, up until he died. He was making it happen with these young women. You know, these young women have quite a bit of energy for this 80-something-year-old man, and he still made it happen. So if you want to do it, you know, I think Robert De Niro just had a baby with his, like, really young girlfriend or wife. He's, like, in his 70s or 80s. Yeah. Like, you really want to make it happen, you're going to do it. You know, like, if the woman is attracted to you and you're attracted to her, you're going to do it. And it's like, I'm trying to understand. And he's like, oh, well, we're not compatible. Why not? Why aren't you compatible? You're not telling us everything. You seeked her out. So you were attracted to her. You reached out to her, you set up dates, and then all of a sudden, when she wants to get intimate, you're not compatible. This is the exact same shit that we saw with Jennifer.
He was not attracted to her. He wanted to be on the show again.
How do you not be attracted to her? And even with Jennifer was beautiful too. The only way you're not attracted to these beautiful women is if you're not attracted to beautiful women, right? That's my only go-to for this. I can't figure out any other way to make it work. Oh my God, Donna, you're here. Donna, you're
because he's gay.
Here.
He is gay.
I think,
and there's nothing wrong with that. Like I lie, I keep saying there's nothing wrong with that. But he needs to quit lying to himself, and he needs to quit lying to everybody, because we all know. Hey, Miss Donna, how you doing?
Hi, Donna.
I think that sexuality is something that no one needs to be ashamed of. You know, at this point in life, you know, there's people who, well, we're watching Sophie right now. She's bisexual on this season of Happily Ever After. And the last time we saw her, she was at that pool meeting. She had sex with everybody in that meeting. Literally. You know, like, we are not shaming people for their sexuality. You want to express yourself sexually, we are not judging you at all. You are.
Rob, I mean, he has an OnlyFans and he, you know what I'm saying, then shows his backside, and he's been with men. So what if that's what you like? Hey, you do you, boo. You do you.
I don't know why it's so detrimental, or he feels like it's gonna change who he is. If he was, I mean, this is allegedly, we don't know, but if that is the case, why does he feel like he can't be himself and be who he is at the same time? I don't understand why he feels that way.
But I also don't understand how he keeps landing these beautiful women.
That's interesting too. Well, Didi
got a lot of that to
do with the commas in the bank account. Now, remember, he was driving, like, what was he driving when he went on the date with Louisa? Wasn't it like a Porsche? It was something, yeah. Or a Maserati?
He had a Lamborghini when he first came on, when he was getting with Jennifer. He had a
Lamborghini. And he was talking about how he gets his manicures, his pedicures, his facials, his eyebrows done, that he don't do hard labor, that his hands are softer than a woman's hands. Hello? Yeah. Just saying.
I mean, it probably has to do with money. You know, women are attracted to men who are successful, you know, and because, you know, looking at his face, I'm not going to like say he's not a good looking guy, but, you know,
I will.
It has to be more than that, right? Like, it's got to be more than that. It's not that Louisa, Jennifer, all these beautiful women are like, oh, he's the most beautiful man I've ever seen. I'm not going to say that, you know, like, I'm pretty sure that. Right. The commas in the bank account have something to do with it.
I don't care how many commas in a bank account he has. I would not be seen in public with someone in those boots. Well, of the male gender.
The boots that he wore when he went on a fight, when he was fighting with Jamal, you know, it was really interesting because the weather didn't look weather appropriate, first of all, to wear those. But I don't know of a time when it would ever be appropriate for a man to wear those unless you're riding a horse, right?
Yes.
Like, I was really confused. And I was like, I get that, you know, style is part of your identity and nobody can tell you what to wear and what not to wear. But I thought...
Kentucky Derby, we don't know.
Well, right. I mean, the thought process of somebody who not only would own those, but also have the balls to wear them
on TV
is just crazy, right? It's just crazy to me. So it's almost like he's looking for people to criticize him, right? Because there are people who might not want to come out with their sexuality, but they'll hide it.
Yeah.
But it's almost like he doesn't hide it, but he also doesn't want to claim it.
Yeah.
Which is a really interesting dynamic for me. It's like, well, if you don't want people to know, you're making it hard for them not to know based on the way that you act and dress and your manicures, pedicures, facials, you know, the boots. You know, it's really difficult to deny what we see.
Yeah.
You know, and I never want to...
Even Armando was, like, questioning, like, why... Because him and... what's his name?
Kenny.
Him and Kenny have... I mean, they're, like, really good friends. And if you've noticed, every time that him and Kenny's been together, they've been holding hands. He's been having his legs in Kenny's lap. I mean, it's like Armando was even questioning it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on. You more comfortable doing stuff like that with a man, but you're scared to death of a woman, but you say you're not gay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right, because Louisa wanted to hold hands and cuddle, and he wouldn't do it. But when Kenny's around, they're going to sit on each other's lap, you know? And again... Nobody's mad. We don't care. It's totally fine. But I think in my opinion, the only issue I have is he's stringing these women along and they're under the impression that he wants a relationship with them and he doesn't. And I think that that's where I don't like the situation, because I feel like making someone believe that you want to be in a relationship with them and then you don't, you never did. And then you treat them like they're worthless and then you won't call them, you won't go see them, you won't be a part of building that relationship. I think that it's playing emotional mind games with people. And I feel like Jennifer and Louisa both would tell you the same thing. He made it seem like that they were going to build something. And then when the time came to do it, he never wanted to be a part of it. He never wanted to participate.
Yep.
So next week, we are going to see the Battle of the Debbies, right? So Debbie and Miss Debbie are going back and forth because they don't agree with the way that their sons are a part of each other's lives. So Miss Debbie thinks that Debbie shouldn't be a part of Colt's relationship and inserting her relationship, and that's why they kicked her out of the house. And then Miss Debbie didn't like the way that Debbie was talking about Julian and how Julian is involved in her relationship, and then things were getting kind of crazy. And then we also saw a scene of Chantel teaching Miss Debbie to twerk, which is not sure is something I needed to see ever. No, that's a lot for me. But it's funny because when she was twerking, she kept saying earlier in the season that she had no ass. There was something back there. I'm just sad that I had to see it. Right? I'm just sad that I...
Hey, one thing I want to touch base on is him and Veronica at the end, making up, seeming like they're going to hang out, blah, blah, blah. Then she overhears him with Louisa. I hope he's with Louisa, but the only reason Veronica went and was like, oh, everything's going to be okay, blah, 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 is because Louisa said, you're very handsome, you're hot. And he's like, oh, geez, ha, ha, ha. Women want what they can't have, just like men want what they can't have. And they were so at odds until someone else wanted him. Then Veronica's like, no, I got to get him. So.
Yeah, I saw that. Because it seemed like when they were on stage, there was no chance anything was going to happen. But then when she could, it was obvious that there was something going on. I think that she did. She was like, oh, well, you know, we should talk. You should call me. We should hang out. Like, I do think that it was an interesting thing to do, you know, knowing.
Yeah, let's hang out later. And she's like, oh, I got to go check on Tim.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. It's an interesting dynamic. And I don't know, because a lot of people were saying if he was going to sleep with Louisa that night and then hang out with Veronica the next night, you know, that he would be playing both of them, right? Like, how do y'all feel about that?
I mean,
He's single. He has every right to mingle.
He's a young, single, good-looking man.
Yeah. The only person who's not allowed to have a good time who's on the show is Patrick and now John, right? They are no longer single, and they have to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do. Everybody else, including Chantel. Well, how do you feel about Chantel snitching on everybody? Like, how do y'all feel about the snitch? You know, I think that snitches are important because that's how we get the tea, right? So we can't come down too hard on people who rat people out. But how did y'all feel about, you know, her putting her sentence into that?
The only feelings I had about it is never start a sentence with, don't say you heard it from me.
Yeah.
Freaking TV show.
Well, yeah. And anytime you say, don't say you heard it from me, people are going to say they heard it from you. You know,
don't say you heard it from me, 99% of the time, they're telling you a lie.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you're going to be snitching, I mean, why are you going to say, well, don't say that you heard it from me?
Yep.
If I tell you something, I'm like, I don't give a damn if you tell them or not. I tell them myself. Yep. You want me to call them for you?
Yeah, but you and I are a very different breed.
Well, yeah. Because I was going to say, sometimes I do have information that I'll share, but I cannot tell people how I got it.
Some people.
So,
well, you different, George. You different, okay?
Yeah.
But like,
I cannot tell people how I got the information, but I'll share it with you. There's no way I can tell you who told me, you know?
People that don't like confrontation. And then there's people like me and Didi that thrive on it.
Well, right, because if you go out and tell, then the first thing you got to deal with is the people coming back to you and saying, hey, you went and told everybody this, and then you have to deal with the secret. So I think that, and then in my opinion, I think people will stop telling me things, and that's no fun. Yeah, you know, that's no fun.
You're very different.
I mean, it's not that I'm scared. Like, I'll snitch, but, like, I definitely don't want to, like, lose my sources, I guess. Because then if they don't trust me to tell me things, then I won't know anything, and then I'll just be boring, you know, and then nobody want to hear what I have to say.
But, like, so. George, you're different because, I mean, you can't tell us where you get your sources from. But, like, a person in general, you know what I'm saying? If they tell you, don't say that you heard it from me, 99% of the time, they're telling you a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably true. So Jamal and Louisa came back out, and we thought maybe Kim would come out. Kim did not come out. So I wanted to get your reaction on that.
No way she's not coming out. No way.
So you think it's not over? You think
I hope she comes out. I hope she comes out, and I hope she whoops Veronica's ass because Veronica needs it.
I felt like it was warranted because Miss Kieran was there.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Miss Debbie had something to say about Chantel's lack of panties, Miss Kieran got to come out and defend Chantel, and I thought it would only be fair. Oh, wait, the diva speaks.
Julian's there. Patrick's there. Jamal better damn well have somebody. He needs his mom.
Okay, so the diva speaks says from last week she saw a bonus scene with Kim in it. Where did you see that at? Was it like on a More to Love episode? Now I'm confused because I didn't see that.
Love? I didn't see that.
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
I need a little more info on that. Where did you see this bonus scene? Because they do air the More to Loves 2 days after it airs, and it does have bonus scenes. It's on More to Love on Discovery.
I watched the More to Love, and I did not see that.
Really?
But I watched it on Discovery Plus. I watched it on Hulu.
I didn't watch it on Discovery either. I watched it on Max, so I'm wondering if I missed it. Okay, so they say she was on, it was on More to Love. So I'm going to go and look and try to find it, and then we're going to talk about it next week for the part 5 finale of the tell-all. We're going to discuss it because
there's no way Kim sat at home, twiddled her thumbs, and thought, I hope Jamal's okay. No, she was like, I'm going to go beat this bitch's ass because she needs to shut up. That's what's happening.
Yeah. Okay, Judy says, I saw it on social media. Kim was in a red dress. Okay, so this happened. Okay, so we're going to find it, and we're going to talk about it because I just knew, I'm in Canada. It was on TV. See, what you got on TV might not be what we got on TV. So, because I guess you might have got the More to Love and we got the regular episode. Watched it on Max, not Discovery. Okay, yeah, I'm going to go and check that out, and we're going to figure this out, and we're going to see, and we're going to talk about that too. But next week is the finale of the tell-alls. This is part 5. And then we're going to watch the Debbie and Debbie showdown. There's a little bit more of Mike and Natalie and Josh. And what I believe happened was Mike served her on the show, was what I was told. So this is not nice to say, but I'm good with it. Right? Like, I feel like she's been using people for so long. This is finally karma catching up to her, right? Like, to show up there and serve her was the best thing that could have happened.
I hope he serves her on a silver platter.
I mean, I hope he serves her, and I hope she gets zero spousal support. She gets zero help. She doesn't get to use anybody else from this moment on. And so what's her name? Miss Debbie was not okay with the way it happened. So we're going to get into that too. But that's all
that cares about what Debbie likes. Who cares?
Miss Debbie
seems
to not like a lot of things, right? Like, she was very happy with John and Megan's engagement, but other than that, she was basically not cool with anything that happened so far. So
She wasn't even happy when her son was trying to have a good life with his wife. She wasn't happy. Nothing makes that woman happy.
Yeah.
You're right. We watched the relationship deteriorate to where they kicked her out of the house. Like, it takes a lot to kick your mama out the house, right? Like, you know she done did something. You kicked your mama out the house. All right, guys, we're going to wrap this up, and we're going to come back next week for Happily Ever After Episode 5. Patrick and Thais are going to be there, but so far, I don't think Angela and Michael are going to be there. We still haven't seen them. Somebody's keeping saying, fingers crossed, we won't. So even though I wasn't told that, people also told me that Nicole and Mahmood weren't going to be there, and they were. So maybe Angela and Michael really aren't on. Maybe that's why she's hanging with Scott. Like, I don't know what's going on at this point. I used to think I knew things. I don't know. But we're going to be back to talk about that next week. Make sure you're following my co-hosts, Kara and Didi. They're tagged in this video. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms, at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in the George Massey Show. Thank you for joining us tonight. Everybody have a wonderful night, and we'll talk to you all very soon. Bye.
Bye.